Sin always, always causes death. Death means separation. Death always causes separation. It can separate a soul from his Savior. It can separate a body from its soul. It can separate a husband from his wife or a wife from her husband. Sin can separate friend from friend, family member from other family members. Sin is ugly. It is a killer. The Lord God promised Adam and Eve that the day they ate of the forbidden tree, they would die. The day Adam and Eve sinned, they did die. That day, they were separated from the tree of life and from the presence of God. That day, they also began to die physically. They began a long process of dying physically because they were separated from the tree of life. While their physical death lingered, they began to try to overcome the consequences of their spiritual death. They taught their sons, for instance, to bring sacrifices to God. From God, they learned to worship. Long ago it was said to Ezekiel, "The soul that sins, it shall die." Ezekiel 18:20. The New Testament speaks of the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. And of course that means when you sin, you die. Death is the inescapable consequence of sin. And because sin is personal, death, of course, is also personal. In that passage in Ezekiel, we read, "The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Ah, yes, the curse of sin is very personal. Humans do not inherit sin. It is of their own making. As soon as the sin is committed, the sinner dies. Right then, Adam died the day he sinned, but he did not die a physical death for many years afterwards. Well, this makes plain the difference between spiritual death and physical death. On the day he sinned, Adam died spiritually. When the Apostle Paul wrote, "In Adam all die," he contrasted that with all being made alive in Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:22. In other words, just as in Adam, every human being will lay aside the physical body in physical death, by Jesus, every human body will be raised from the dead and reunited with an eternal spirit when Jesus comes again. That's right. Every human being will be given a new body that will live forever somewhere. Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." John 5:28-29. There is coming a day in which all that are in the graves will hear the voice of Jesus and will come forth. Both the good and the evil will be raised from the dead. The question is, will you be among those raised to eternal life or among those who are raised for condemnation? When Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this," he was making a comparison with what he had just said. He had just spoken about another resurrection, a spiritual resurrection that can take place any day. That's right. Upon hearing the instructions of the Son of God, people would be able to change their hearts and their lives on any day they chose. Jesus had said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead," that is the spiritually dead, "will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he's given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man." John 5:25-27. Well, the dead in this saying of Jesus is the spiritually dead. The reason we know is because he says the hour is coming and is now here. Well, the hour that he raises the physically dead has not yet come. So he must be talking about the spiritual dead. The Apostle Paul described the spiritually dead this way: "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, when once following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Friends, if you are spiritually dead, then you can have life in the Son of God this very day. That's right. You can become a Christian. You can be spiritually made alive. You can hear the voice of the Son of God through the good news that He has left us. You can know the truth, and the truth will set you free from your sins. You can be made alive today by rendering obedience to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Upon believing the gospel story of Jesus, you can repent of your sins. You can turn away from your sins. You can confess your faith in Jesus Christ. You can be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can bury the old man of sin and be raised from the watery grave, a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away then. A new life is ahead of you. This is what the Lord meant when He said that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. If you obey the Son of God today, then you'll be given spiritual life that comes only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who are these walking dead people? They are alive in the body of sin, but spiritually they are dead. Their hearts beat, their lungs breathe, their brains work. They live and move and have their being, but they are dead, the walking dead. This is the hated consequence of sin. The Apostle Paul described this condition in a number of places in his letters. For instance, in Romans 7, he wrote, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Romans 7, 15 to 20. Yes, Paul, in another place, gives a list of the kinds of sins that kill the soul. Now, the kind of heart condition that he just described in Romans 7 comes out in behavior such as we read in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 19. "Now, the works of the flesh are evident," Paul wrote, "sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you," Paul said, "as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Well, friends, all of these things lead to a person's separation from God, that is, spiritual death. When Jesus comes, all of the dead will be raised. The human spirit will be reunited with a resurrected body. The Apostle Paul describes what will happen next. "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. God has given us the right of selecting our own changes. That's right. In His wisdom and goodness, the Creator does not interfere with the creature's ability to make his own decisions and chart his own course. There is a sense in which each one of us is, indeed, the master of his fate and the captain of his soul. However, God will hold us accountable for those choices that we make. Yes, indeed, He will. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Well, on the day of Pentecost, recorded in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter said to those who had heard the gospel, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Acts 2, verse 39. Well, after hearing the good news that Jesus was alive and at the right hand of God, and that he had died for the sins of the world, these people who heard Peter on that day, they could decide to follow Jesus. And about 3,000 of them did decide to follow Jesus that day after hearing Peter's answer to their question. They had asked Peter and the others, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter answered, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Acts 2, 37 to 39. Well, friends, the guilt of sin in your life can be overcome by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's right. God can forgive you. On this very day, you can become spiritually alive, even though your body will continue to go downhill. God can forgive you because Jesus died on the cross to justify God's forgiveness of human beings. May God bless you in making a good decision to follow Jesus Christ.